There is always the cheering absurdity between our aims and our nebulous accomplishments. It minimizes our afflictions. It keeps us tender toward the weaknesses of others. 220. The road. I know, with sincerity and humor, we cannot go far wrong, even in untried fields. That's why I call them regulators, these qualities. 6. All this preparation, as presented here, appears to precede the actual experiences and experiments that enabled Betty to realize, to make it so, to become what she knew. But from the bald chronological standpoint, these actual experiences had already long since begun. However, bald chronology, as always, gives no clear picture of process. I must, like the Invisibles, skip about, selecting from the record, sketch what seems necessary to the framework of effort and indicate the tools Betty must use. One of the latter, of course, was the care of the physical body. As a furtherance for spiritual development, the Invisibles had no use whatever for the medieval idea, still persistent enough, of the mortification of the flesh. One thing to respect always, they protested any such point of view, is the physical body. If there is flattening out and dulling of it, that comes about through various misinterpretations of the relations between the spiritual and the physical. The growth in refinement of the inner being may interpret itself into anemia of the physical being, into restrictions of foods and appetites of all kinds. Don't make hard and fast, the road. I know. 221. Rules for yourself physically. Deliberately break over your regulations and observe the reflex of comfort and fluidity your whole being will enjoy. There is no necessity to elaborate this. It is a hint that you can accept or reject as you please. The idea met no opposition from Betty. Zest of enjoyment in all that the world had to offer had always been characteristic of her. I want common ordinary earth brute force, she declared. It's my contribution, my share. Spirituality on earth is impotent without it. It is the functioning body of the spirit. They concentrate me on the spiritual until I have a certain amount, and then I have to produce the force to make it function. If I merely kept on with the spiritual, I'd just get a weak thing that would convince nobody. Oh, I like looking at such nice, fine, forceful bodies. Their muscles stand out, they're fit and ready, and each holds up steadily and blithely his spiritual gift that he is carrying. Fine. It thrills me. Fine. The Invisibles echoed. But, they rather humorously anti-climaxed Betty's abandon, mere physical brute force is not quite it. There is no reason why one should not be his age, no reason to pretend a physical vigor unnatural to one's years. Let the kids have their own kind of vigor. It's about all they do have. Attainment of the higher consciousness. The Invisibles, 222, the road I know, pointed out, involves a new way of working. It has more dependence on mental and spiritual vigor than on physical. The former is not possible in physical youth. You enter a rare period of enjoyment once you can overleap the largely magnified dictates of the body and learn wisely to manage it, learn not to arouse its combative simulations, but to give it ease and consideration, exceptionally pampering it if necessary to gain its cooperation. Let your vigor and abandon of youth, your enthusiasm for adventure, be in the mental and spiritual integration you have acquired. The body, thus cajoled, will serve you efficiently to the end. Even invalids have acquired this technique for exceptional adventures. Simplicity of all simplicities, respect for the temple of the body. Chapter 20. The Nature of the Substance. 1. The Invisibles never appeared concerned about any difficulties Betty was having. It always seemed to me that they watched her experiments and struggles much as a benign adult watches a baby trying to find out how to fit a peg into a hole. They supplied the peg and the board with a hole in it, and occasionally they dropped a hint on how to get them together, but that was all. Betty was at a phase of development which the Invisibles ironically called the Tinhorn Rattle Whistle stage of children playing games. But they hastened to add, the games of children are among their best means of learning. Grown-ups do not play with toys, but taking away a child's toy does not make him a grown-up. Apparently this idea gave Betty pause for thought. Over here, she had to agree, rather ruefully, I'm always saying, let's see if I can do it, let me do it. As a child says, All right, here comes opposition, said the Invisibles. Get ready. What to do? I must gird myself joyously, like a game. Betty 223. 224, the road I know, rose to the suggestion. Well, it's my turn. A hard ball is coming. On your toes. Using the higher force, said they, actually is like trying to putt a golf ball down, or to hit a bull's eye. You have a certain power, and you try to work it, and you figure why you failed, and you try again, just like your sports over there. Of a cold fact it was like our sports over here, Betty told me, later in her normal person. Especially that dratted game of golf, she added. Betty had wonderful command of her body, as witness that stunt of standing on her head for long periods, but golf always exasperated her. She brought back from the links an excellent definition, you know, I can play this game a great deal better than I am, but I never do. Now, in her flounderings in search of the smooth application to actual life of her inner attainments, she was puzzled. Finally the Invisibles threw her a line. You are forgetting to work in the nature of the substance, said they. 2. The nature of the substance, here was a new phrase to add to the many catchwords the Invisibles had presented us. The inference was fairly clear, but what exactly did they mean? If a chemist wants to dissolve gold, he doesn't try to, the road I know, 225, do it with sulfuric acid, does he? ? I must condense and epitomize. He knows better. It is not gold's nature to respond to sulfuric acid. If an artist wants to express pure form, he does it in clay or marble or wood. He doesn't use paint. If he wants to express color and atmosphere and that sort of thing, he uses a canvas. He does not daub up a statue, even if the Greeks did do it, or paste false whiskers on a portrait. Not if he is a good artist. And what would you think of a mechanic who built a machine out of wood instead of metal? Or a schoolmaster who tried to talk calculus to the kindergarten? Now, the Invisibles advised Betty, extend that to what you are trying to do. I am still condensing a mass of record. What are you working on? The world, people, individuals. You are trying to give them something, of yourself, aren't you? The trouble is that you are trying to give them all the same thing in the same way. You don't expect the same thing from each of them, do you? We do not want to find the same things in different people. What do you want of your friends? They finally challenged. Why, reflected Betty, in some I want the warmth of uncritical affection, unquestioned acceptance in spite of surface imperfections. In others I want the light touch of humor and good fellowship playing lambent over our companionship. Still others help me to touch my highest point of mind and soul reaches. 226, the road I know, and each of them wants something different from you, supplemented the Invisibles. The art of living is to find out what you have for each other. A really skilled worker cherishes the character of the materials he works with, even to the point of utilizing a knot hole for decoration. He works in the nature of the substance. And, they added, it is rather naive to expect smooth sailing and cordial acceptance always. If you generate a force, it must meet opposition. Betty was beginning to see the point. That's what I'm working on today. I go at it with a certain interest and appetite in trying it out, a humorous acceptance of a challenge with myself. That opposition, said the Invisibles, is itself a substance, with a nature of its own, that must be worked in. The first thing you must learn, they added, is to accept opposition so in its entirety, so completely, that not one speck of attention is ever wasted on it, except for the intellectual appraisement of its strength and the planning for control of its effect. I see, said Betty, you do not say, isn't it hateful I've got this? Isn't it disgusting that this happened? You know that, if someone goes at you to overwhelm you with something, it is stupid to waste time and strength in reacting to it with resentment. You at once, the road I know, act together all your vigor to create exactly the opposite. 227, the best course, elaborated the Invisibles, is always to reduce your aims to their essentials, and then seek the cooperation of your material, however imperfect. Nor will you find this too difficult to accomplish, provided you keep as your chief aim the determination to proceed with the least friction and the most skill and sympathy, in the sense of an artist's sympathy with his work and material. I needed that. Betty was appreciative. You see, for a moment I was a little sad and puzzled about the uselessness of trying to bring a bit of real spirituality into ordinary life. The exquisite amount of devotion required to accomplish it. The creation of all the heart energy and absorption in it, in order to make it live in the atmosphere of everyday life. It's all so intangible to do, and people's reactions to it are so curious. It is like leading them into a refrigerating room or a furnace room, something that has an immediate reaction on them. You can't tell how they are going to take it. Now the method we suggest in working in the nature of the substance, said the Invisibles, is not to try immediately to graft on it what you have to bring. You should leave that to the constructive purpose with which you have unified yourself. Your part is to cultivate, in full enjoyment, the pitch which made, 228, the road I know, that unification possible, and to try to lift from drabness and traditional isolations the human nature. It's a sort of idea of little shadings of ability to pick up from the human scrap heap and sense the bits of quality there. I find it a little hard, let it go, said Betty. My first translation of my experience, Betty tried to retrace the steps that had led her to this point, was that I was not to reach restlessly and objectively hither and thither, but was to sit at home in myself and sense that self to the depth of my capacity of heart intelligence and comprehension. But that was not adequate, it is too limited. My next reaction to it was that through persistent practice I had become used to thinking of myself as vigorously centered in a point of power, capable of action on inferior substance. And that inferior substance is inferior because it has no free will to refuse my vigorous action, any more than metal can refuse to accept warmth when placed near the fire. But that was inadequate, too. Both those concepts were too limited to convey the scope of spiritual action. They are still molded by brain limitations, and yet both have necessary steps of truth embodied in them. The thing they lack is the universality of spiritual consciousness. The only real way to work in the nature of the substance, contributed the Invisibles, is through a, the road I know, 229. Generous and spontaneous blending with other lives in the universality common to all. It is very hard to drag forth the enduring element in each, the perpetual person, to throw calmly into the discard the barnacle parasite part, said the Invisibles. To work in the nature of the substance. They exclaimed. Why, if the world were only wise enough to do that, there would be little else to do. It is tolerance. It is the nth degree of humanitarianism. It is respect for the integrity of each individual soul. Those who have gained the habitual spiritual consciousness always work that way, in the nature of the substance, and it is in that way you can recognize them. In fact, working in the nature of the substance is the only way people can live together in peace. Chapter 21 Kinship 1. Of course, the Invisibles had told Betty all along, she was going to meet obstructions, throughout life. There is a necessary resistance, they indicated. How else can one rise? How else does an airplane rise, save through the resistance of the air? After all, said they, the time to practice anything enduring is in the times of stress. And, they added dryly, she would find no dearth of stress points. That is life, and life, in last analysis, is people, just people. All the rest. The material comforts. The material securities, the material necessities, are met by the ingenuities of the mind and the energies of the body, and what they assure is bare existence. But it is in one's dealings with people, one's relations with people, one's gifts to and from people, that one meets the deeper resistance by which one's consciousness may rise. That is life, and that is the nature of its substance. I think they were warning Betty not to expect everything to be all sweetness and light and brotherhood of man merely because she had come to understand the nature of her substance. Or perhaps not. They must have known Betty pretty well by now, and have been 230, the road I know, 231, quite aware of her personal history. Without going into details, She had been enmeshed from childhood with a singularly complete array of self-centered and exacting neurasthenics, encroaching and demanding personalities with whom she had to cope, nor did her marriage free her from them entirely. The Invisibles classed them as unreceptives, which seemed to me a masterpiece of understatement. If I had been consulted, I should have said that Betty needed no instruction on how to get along with people, prickly or otherwise. It is a literal fact that in the 36 years of our life together I never knew her to quarrel with anybody, not even with me. I am certain this is no fatuous reconstruction because, occasionally for the fun of it, I would try to prod her into a fight, and never succeeded. Oh, she could be firm enough, as many, again including myself, found out, but in some mysterious and Betty-ish fashion she managed it without battle or indignation. Be that as it may, the Invisibles and Betty embarked on a statement of principles concerning conflict. 2. First of all, the Invisibles began, apropos of unreceptive people, you must protect yourself from getting in their zone of action. You must first insulate yourself. Insulation is not unsympathetic. It is just the 232, the road I know, precaution the doctor takes against infection. So insulation is not isolation. Next, they advised, keep yourself whole. The strategy of war is to divide the enemy. Recognize instantly when you are being divided. Laugh a good strong laugh, and rush forward. At the moment of unity, surge onward in spite of obstructions. Whenever provoking things happen, look on yourself as in danger of being the vanquished instead of the victor, the captured instead of the captor. Each time you score, it is a definite count, it is not erased. It is like acquiring something, makes what you are doing easier. It is a great help each time you hold fast and don't get captured. Do not start out expecting to be flattered by spectacular results. Just plan to keep going for the satisfaction of occupying your place in the greater scheme. There will always be moments of full realization, the blooming and fruition natural to all life. That also will come to you in its turn. It is not all strain and effort. Do not, they continued, be discouraged even when failure turns into something like actual defeat. This is fun, you know, like gardening or healing or painting a picture or any other creative satisfaction. You decide, as a master should, how things should be, and you make them so. You dominate your materials, instead of being dominated, and because of your strength of perception you are able to look beyond inevitable, the road I know, 233, failure to inevitable success. Pay no attention to defeat. When you look at the defeat side, it is like compound interest. The next time you will have to overcome this time, and the failure that went before, and the one before that. And finally, they completed their fist, watch your four determinations. Bad days must not be bad before they begin. Put your consciousness on the higher level, before you start out every day. You need more preparedness for yourself. That is your job. Particularized for determination, they discriminated, not just hazy. Work it over carefully, as you would an architect's blueprint. That is vitalized thinking. It's different, a creative thinking. There's substance to it. It is really a higher form of thought. I do try to work it, said Betty. I know the law. But, oh dear, it's so unpopular. Everybody thinks it's mushy. They don't know what I'm doing. These points are the important ones, summed up the Invisibles, the robustness of your intent, and the temporary quality of seeming defeat. Remember, we are concerning ourselves with the laws of a higher force which must, eventually, overcome things potent only in their own generation and time. All right, agreed Betty. Every time I feel annoyed or deflected or crossed, I'll think of myself as in danger of capture by inferior force. Instead of cutting myself off from my reinforcements, I'll try to utilize 234, the road I know, them in commonplace moments like that, and not keep them for big, noble occasions. In your relations to people, said the Invisibles, it isn't at all this everything to everybody, hand grasp idea. That's the cheap imitation, very cheap. There is dignity and reserve and depth to the real thing. It is just a quiet feeling, a silent feeling of kinship and sympathetic response, instead of the usual indifference. 3. Kinship proved to be a key word. Usness. The Invisibles started Betty off, one day. There is no such word, she commented, but that is what they say. Anyhow, I can't separate myself into a hard-shelled detached unit anymore. Apparently I'm made up of fundamentals which every created thing shares to a greater or lesser degree. Therefore I'm sympathetically connected with, and share in the life of, everything through the ingredients we have in common. That, very vaguely, is a usness of it. I can't say it very well, but it's a very nice feeling. Don't look at this too closely, advise the Invisibles, don't analyze it. Take it as a broad general feeling until it grows and forms. I am in a wonderful atmosphere, said Betty. It is, the road I know, 235, teeming with life, and it is plastic somehow. I feel people all around me, acting chemically on each other, just like chemical action, only it is spiritual. We laugh at the idea of auras, but they are quite real in a way. You go near a fire, and that has an aura, so has ice. Only with people it seems quite a tangible thing. It extends just a certain radius around. When people approach within that radius, their auras intermingle. And at once chemical action begins. She was silent so long I finally asked what she was doing. I am keeping quiet, she replied, just to see what belongs to us all in common. It is a strange companionship. When I separate myself and enter each one of you, it is the jolliest kind of companionship. None of the little superficial differences matters at all. It is very funny, I like to laugh, and yet it would sound inane were I to tell you that just laughing, for itself done, without any specified joke, is a nice kind of intermingling. It's a good deal like having lots of relatives, Betty continued after a pause. That's the heavy side of it. But the nice side of it is that you can go around feeling relationship with all the beautiful things in the world. You can call out to each other. That's much better than being a stranger in the world, isn't it? This claim of kinship to all created things. I can go around and call to things, call to a nice, 236, the road I know, cloud I see up there, below there. We're related to each other on such and such a side. Or I can say to my big tree and all the little birds under it in the nest, I claim a bit of you all. Wind and sun, they're touching and quickening the bit of me that is wind and sun. It's so much nicer to let them all enter in, and welcome them, and exchange courtesies with them, than to be so hard-shelled and alone. I'm so anxious to keep going around and seeing how much of things claim me, finding out which are my near relatives and which my far ones. They're all different. There are the stars, they are pretty distantly related. I can't do more than respect and admire them. I can't tell you how it changes things to think this way. The sympathetic contact makes it possible to contain the whole world within yourself, expanding to contain them all. I'm astonished at the feel of it, and it's such fun. All the infinite variations are such fun, mixing up all the shades and colors and infinite variations. I'm having a lovely time. Please let me enjoy it. It's such a new world I've discovered. I wonder why I didn't always know it. I've always wanted to feel that way. I want to whistle with the wind. I want to swish with the tides. I want to lullaby with the moon. I want to be loud with the thunder. I want to creep into small places, and I want to soar into big, the road I know, 237, ones. I'm all tingling and glowing with the warmth of the sun. I think I will go now where the cold lives. She stopped short, struck with a new and splendid idea. I wonder, she speculated doubtfully, if I could be an earthquake. The thought of Betty as an earthquake was too much for me, I shouted aloud. She joined my laughter, but half-heartedly. I'd have to work my way up to that, she conceded. She waved her extended hand, now here, now there. Anyway, it's like waving to somebody, or letting them go by with no recognition at all. I want to go around just greeting things. The simplest expression I can reduce it to is in the word reciprocity, she decided. That makes an actual thing, like an electric current. I must have very simple things like that, so they will stay in my everyday mind. 4. I am, said Betty in her next approach, face to face with this vast level of consciousness that is back of human consciousness. They show me a great rope twisted of many strands. I don't understand it. It runs through us all. It is the connecting link. It is the connection through which we act on each other on 238, the road I know, this level. When we touch it, it is charged with life and vitality, an open way of wisdom and understanding. If you touched, reached this level, somebody would answer somewhere if you had a real need they could supply. It is the universal conductor in some way. Never mind how simplified your consciousness may become, the invisibles told her, nor how clear your aim or your comprehension of what you are after, nor how devoutly you may follow it. It does not work unless you have sympathetic comprehension of the interrelation. I am almost afraid to try to put the relationship into words, said Betty, and yet I must struggle with it. She attacked the problem of expression from many angles. The great ocean connecting all islands and continents, all the parceled off objective things, of however great magnitude, are but the islands and continents among and around which flows the great carrier, was one effort. But that did not work, for, said she, the universal relationship not only flows around, but through. It is the common substance of all creation, and it is in that common substance that created things meet and act on one another in proper process, intermingle in their common denominator, so to speak. And yet, I've made an awful mess of trying to tell you. Betty gave up in despair. I won't talk any more. I've said it badly because I gave the impression of emerging, the road I know, 239, of individualities. It is not that. They are distinct, but it's the merging of the substance possessed by all of them, which, kept uppermost, produces the magic. This is very advanced teaching, warned the invisibles. We are not sure that it is wise to precipitate it, but we'll sketch its meaning. Very briefly and crudely, it is to this effect. The undeveloped being lives in isolation of consciousness within himself, his village, his town, his country, depending on how far along he is, always contained within definite personality limits, separated from other creations by the confines of his senses and sympathies. The developed man is as different a creature in the breadth of his perceptions as is a walnut in its difference from the winds. The developed man can search out any distance with an extension of himself, his full consciousness concentrated at any point he desires. He assumes kinship with other consciousnesses as poignantly as with his own. It is just like the radio, contributed Betty. You pick out the right wavelength and travel on it. This sympathetic assumption of kinship, continued the invisibles, empowers him with the attributes of the higher consciousness. And one result of this is that he is no longer, while living as other men, restricted by their limitations of position in the geometrical sense, because anything he turns his attention to ardently, anything he loves, he becomes, 240, the road I know, in this greater entity. This greater entity gives him the ability to broadcast himself, to travel to it sympathetically, as it were, on its individual wavelength. It may not sound like much at first, said Betty, but think of the stupendous power of this faculty when one actually grows into full possession of it. One no longer occupies a one-pointed position. One's heart extensions are potentially universal. Sometimes, said she, groping for it, I believe that just shutting your eyes and loving people is the real way. If I kept them open, I'd be so busy looking at the outsides of you. And now I don't have to. I can just shut my eyes and love you as you register on me. I can't say it very well, not what you get snarled up trying to do, but what you have inside of you that you want to be. I must remember that's the way to do with people. Don't have to keep your eyes shut all the time, just now and then, but it's easier to keep on loving them when you do. The invisibles approved this. You can ignore the misrepresenting agents of the man, his habits, indulgences, dormancies, and insist on dealing with his possibilities, said they. You see, Betty repeated a standard complaint. I was sad and puzzled again about the uselessness of trying to bring real spirituality into ordinary life. It's so apartment to make you shirk your devotion to other more. The road I know, 241, obvious things. I was so puzzled about it. I understood my bit of power,